pray with me. Holy and gracious Lord, I thank you for the gift of being able to gather together as a community who are called by the word of our Lord. As we attempt to discern, God, what it is that you would teach us this morning, I ask that your Holy Spirit would move in us and through us, enlivening our hearts and our minds to you. To this end, Lord, I ask that you would test these words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts. May they be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let's all do a thought experiment with one another this morning. Imagine that you have two amazing friends who treat you essentially identically. Both of them are loyal, they're consistent, and long-suffering. However, there is one difference between the two of them. Your mother, years ago, decided to pay one of them off with a small fortune so that they would be assured to be your friends throughout the course of your entire life. The thing is, she never told you that she spent your inheritance early to pay this person to be your friend. You have no idea that one of your two bosom buddies is only your friend because they've been hired to be. What's more, they both treat you exactly the same. The question is, would you prefer having one over the other? You get the same thing from both of the relationships. They both treat you in exactly the same fashion. But would you rather have a friend who sticks with you out of love versus some other ulterior motive? This morning, we continue our exploration of the church's mission and its call to preach the truth that Jesus is Lord to our culture in a way that our neighbors will be able to hear this as good news. Thus far, we've considered missional and attractional approaches to this kind of ministry, as well as how living in our current pluralist society will change the ways in which we preach. Today, we will examine a way that all of us here today can be missionaries in an essential and a risky fashion, by being someone's friend. Now, friendship may seem like a strange thing to discuss in a series on missional living. Perhaps it's so common that it doesn't feel like it merits our attention. However, the Bible is filled with stories about friendship. David and Jonathan, Ruth and Naomi, Daniel, along with his colleagues, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Jesus and his disciples. Now, these are just to name a few. But through these friendships, lives, and even the course of human history were changed. In the view of the Bible, and in the ancient world along with it, friendship plays a powerful and a lofty role in human life. In the book Sacred Companions, which has been deeply influential within my life, the spiritual writer David G. Benner writes this: "Long overshadowed by romantic love, friendship is easily undervalued. The ancients viewed friendship as the crown of life, the fulfillment of all that is most distinctively human. Moderns all too often assess its value primarily in terms of its usefulness for achieving material ends, friends as business contacts, or minimizing boredom and loneliness, friends as people to kill time with." Benner continues, "Friends share a love of at least one thing, be it ideas, politics, art, or the spiritual journey. Apart from this, there would be nothing for friendship to be about." So if Benner and the ancient world are correct about friendship being one of those crowning jewels of life, what role might it play in our call to a missional living for this world? With new studies coming out all the time about how the advent of social media is making people feel lonelier, with evidence that text message dependency is making it more difficult for people to express their deep inner needs and wounds, with communities and families breaking apart because of ideological differences, I believe that friendship is more essential now than ever. Friendship is evidence that someone sees me, knows me, and loves me all the same. It suggests that I am not alone, that my inner life can be shared, and that someone is loyal to me beyond how I vote. Friendship, when approached through the spirit within us, sounds an awful lot to me like good news. It is a perfect avenue for expressing through our lives the truth that God sees, knows, and loves all the same. Friendship is an act of grace. As C.S. Lewis writes in The Four Loves, I have no duty to be anyone's friend, and no man in the world has duty to be mine. No claims, no shadow of necessity. Friendship is unnecessary. Like philosophy, like art, like the universe itself, it has no survival value. Rather, it is one of those things which gives value to survival. Now again, this sounds to me like the good news of grace. Most modern people are accustomed to the sort of friendship that Benner warns against, friendship as some kind of means to an end. So we are all justifiably skeptical of friends who only stick around in good times or who are looking to latch on to our successes. It is like the timeless wisdom of Proverbs, which presents the sad state of our world where the poor are shunned, but the wealthy always have friends, if they can be called as much. Proverbs tells us that it is a sin to despise one's neighbor, in this case, the poor who are being shunned. True friendship cannot be based on our wanting to get something from our friends. When we do this, we aren't actually looking for friendship, but rather an avenue for personal profit. I believe that this is also the case when it comes to speaking good news to our friends. We cannot truly be friends with our neighbors if we only have the motive of telling them about Jesus. Now, we might try to excuse ourselves for this minor act of duplicity because of the noble aim of trying to tell people who our Savior is. But the life of Jesus teaches us that we cannot achieve the kingdom of God through any kind of coercive means. Jesus doesn't force his views upon people, but rather acts humbly and thus convinces people that his way of life is where grace might be found. So too, we cannot play at being friends in order to trick people into having holy conversations with us. Instead of trying to force these conversations to go down the path of evangelism, we must respect our friends and develop a basis for entering into a dialogue with them. Benner again writes, dialogue is richer than simple conversation, advice giving, or communication. Dialogue involves shared inquiry designed to increase the awareness and understanding of all parties. In dialogue, the intent is exploration, discovery, and insight. In dialogue, I attempt to share how I experience the world and seek to understand how you do so as well. In this process, each participant touches and is touched by others. This results in each person being changed. Now, much as the word dialogue suggests two people engaging in conversation with one another, whereas a monologue is where one person is speaking and everybody is listening, sadly, like what we're doing right now, so too is a friendship, a sharing of two selves between two people. Our friends will only be open to being changed by us if we are also open to being changed by them. So we must develop a mutual respect where we aren't simply looking to convert our friends, but also, in a way, we're willing to be converted by them. Now, not converted in a way where we're moving away from our faith in Christ, but rather converted away from our attitude that we are the only ones with something to offer. Converted away from a small view of our world. This can only happen, however, if we are open to becoming friends with people who are outside of the church, which won't happen if we're simply holed up in our own fixed communities. We must place ourselves in new situations to meet people who don't yet know Jesus, who might meet him through us. Just as we are invited to become friends with Jesus by our living holy lives with our friends in this world, they might become friends with Jesus as well, through our demonstration of his life and his love. One excellent way to demonstrate what Christ's life and love are like to our friends outside of the church is to try to introduce them to some of our friends who are inside of the church, to all of you who are here today. Consider the example of Paul and Philemon. The key phrase of Paul's letter to Philemon is the Greek word koinonia, which we usually translate as fellowship, but here is more accurately rendered partnership. Paul respects Philemon's partnership with him in the proclamation of good news, which has included their mutual friend Timothy, as well as members of Philemon's own household, Apphia and Archippus. Paul commends Philemon for opening up his home as a place for expressing the good news about the lordship of Jesus. He respects him for showing love and holiness and faith. Philemon is a joy and an encouragement to Paul's life. There is so much that we might learn from the friendship between these two men. Perhaps you and a friend from this church can take turns opening up your homes to friends who don't know the good news about Jesus. You can demonstrate to them through your everyday life what it looks like when two Christians express love, holiness, and mutual respect to one another. Demonstrate together, in partnership with one another, what joy and encouragement can look like. Make the life of Christ look attractive to your friends who don't know or understand what life with Jesus is all about. Perhaps you will spark a dialogue through which you can explain why your life has a certain savor to it, why you live as a person with hope. With all of that in mind, I would like to return to our thought experiment once more from the beginning of the sermon. Which friend do you prefer? The one who is your friend because they want to be? Or the one who is your friend because they've been paid to be? Even if you couldn't tell the difference between how they acted, I would imagine that any of us would prefer the true friend rather than the one who was hired by our mothers. So I ask you this: would our neighbors, the people Jesus invites us to become friends with, would they prefer us to be real friends with them, or people who act as their friends simply because we want to convert them? In our world, where people expect Christians to be judgmental and hypocritical, we must genuinely build relationships. We may not always be the person who gets an opportunity to communicate good news to our neighbors with our words, but we always have the opportunity to communicate good news to them through our lives, living it out, which is how we're always called to live. We have the opportunity to be changed by our neighbors, to become more compassionate, more loving, more aware of how they think and feel and dream. We have the opportunity to invite people into our homes and share day-to-day life with them in all of its ups and its downs, so that they can see how the Spirit is at work within our lives. We have the opportunity to be honest with them, sharing both our hopes and our joys, as well as our doubts and our concerns. And suddenly I think that this invitation to be a friend starts sounding a little dangerous and holy and hopeful. So this week I would invite you to think of ways that you can be a blessing to your neighbors, the people who live on your street or work in your office or who attend your social functions. See if you might begin a new friendship. Perhaps you can invite a new family over to share dinner with you this Friday night. Maybe you could offer to water someone's garden while they're out of town this summer. Say hello to someone as they're coming home from work. Ask them how their day was. Ask them what they did for Christmas. Who knows? You may just eventually enter into a dialogue with them that could change both of your lives. So I pray that you are open to making new friends, not just with the people who look like you or think like you or who attend church like you, but look to become a friend with someone who needs one. Become a friend with someone not because of what you can get out of that relationship, but as a way to be mutually enriched and enriching. I pray that this friendship eventually opens you both up to sharing your lives with one another. I pray that it provides you an opportunity to behave like Christ for them. Amen. Holy and gracious God, I thank you that you have made friendship possible with us through the life and work of your Son, the Messiah. God, as we benefit from friendship with you, may we in turn go and explore what friendship looks like with others. Help us, God, to become genuine friends. Not who are looking for our own benefit, but rather who are looking for dialogue. May, Lord, we become friends like Jesus is a friend to us. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.